An Ann Arbor restaurateur endured a horrific attack by a knife-wielding man who has been stalking her. Thankfully, Sava Farah was not physically injured, but imagine the emotional toll this has taken on Sava and her family, especially because they say the justice system in Washtenaw County has failed them. The story was first reported by the online news site A2 Independent. Joining me on Ann Arbor's talk station 1290 WLBY is William Farah, an Ann Arbor attorney. He deals with business law, and he's Sava's husband. How is she doing, and how is your family doing, William?
Good morning. She's doing well. It's been about 4 to 5 weeks of this, culminating in what happened on Tuesday. But you know, I think Tuesday was kind of the end of it for us. You know, we'd been dealing with it on many different levels on a daily basis, and you know, I think so she's feeling good. I don't want to say, you know, we're not going to empower this person. We're not really victims. We don't look at it that way. You know, this was a real shock event to us, but you know, we're already stronger for it, and we're going to continue to get stronger.
Well, I really appreciate you speaking out on this, because this is something that is important to every single person who lives, works, plays in Washtenaw County here. We want a safe community, and that's part of the troubling part of this story. Take us back to a week ago when this attack happened, and then we're going to have to hear what led up to it, because this was not a one-time only attack. What happened that day?
So Tuesday morning, you know, we're kind of going about our regular routine. We were up early getting our kids ready for school. And she, on Tuesday morning, she typically goes to yoga, which is right down the street from at Red Yoga, Sava's restaurant, on Liberty there. So, you know, given what has happened the last 4 to 5 weeks, we actually had to retain private security. So on that morning, she goes in. She was supposed to meet the private security guard at about 8:30. She gets into the alley at about 8:15, about 15 minutes early. Now, these individuals are usually 30 to 45 minutes early, checking out the neighborhood, seeing what's looking for this person, because we knew who he was. She's sitting in her car, and so I'm sitting at home actually working, and I get a phone call from her, and she's just like, "He's right here. He's right here." And she hangs up. I call 911 immediately. And, you know, and this whole thing just plays out. So he's there, and he comes to her window and starts knocking on her window. Like, "Hey, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you?" And she's just like, you know, like, we've seen his face, we know exactly what he looks like, and he's wearing the exact same outfit where he's committed these crimes before, where we have him on video camera doing these things. And she's just like, "Oh my God, it's you," you know? And she's like, you know, so she kind of like goes at him a little bit. He starts hitting the window, breaks the driver's side window, starts lunging, and he's got a knife in his hand. When he came up to the window, she's, you know, Sava's like, you know, he had his hand down low, he had his hand on that knife, and he's knocking on it with the other one. And he comes through the window. And I mean, luckily, I think that window is tinted, so it's like got this plastic film on it. You know, he peels it back and just like starts going at her. She retreats to the passenger side, and she's kind of, you know, on her back a little bit, kicking at him. And thankfully, there's construction work going on right there in front of the alley. And this construction worker, you know, it's all fenced off too. He's hopping the fence. We've got him on security camera going from next door, going over the fence and coming at, you know, and this is what scared him off. Nothing else did. And thankfully she was, you know, unscathed. She calls me up again. He's out. So she gets in the car and starts trying to find him. You know, where is he? And, you know, at this point, I'm probably 2 minutes away from downtown. I'm just like, I'm getting there. I'm calling 911. I called 911 another time. And we just start looking for him all over town.
And so, you're telling me that he finally fled because he saw that construction worker coming.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep. So, and you know, yeah, he was, you know, let me tell you something. This day, so, and I can continue to the events of it, but you know, that morning he showed up, he was creeping in the back alley there. He was hiding behind some trash can. We've never seen him do that. We've never spotted him in the alley other than the times where he was there slashing tires. He was wearing body armor. The next day, he was going to be sentenced. What I'm thinking is to 93 days on this probation violation. So this was like his, you know, big event. He was going in to do damage. He knew exactly what he was doing this morning. And he knew that's what I believe, because nothing has happened like this. He was waiting for her. And those guys are security guys, are always looking around. They've never spotted him.
So, William, this actually goes back a while, though. Why is this person targeting your wife?
We have no idea. So this individual apparently worked at Saba's for one shift. He came in on his first day of work and was drunk or something, clearly under the influence of some substance, and he was sent home. So then what happened, you know, so in the middle of the pandemic, at some point, he emailed my wife and said, hey, I'm inheriting the Carlisle Grill. I'm interested to hear in what you're doing, you know, during COVID, basically. Saba responded. She's had many people reach out to her during COVID. What are you guys doing? This and that. And next thing you know, her cell phone's in her signature. I guess never do that. And then the guy just starts texting her all over the place. You know, she's just ignoring it. And, you know, maybe this has been, you know, threats. I'm going to come get you. Don't report me. All these things.
So
you know?
He got her cell phone because she responded to this email thinking this was a legitimate request.
Exactly.
From another person.
Another business owner.
Another business owner going to have a discussion with that person. And we know he has nothing to do with the Carlisle. Is that right?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't. Confirmed that, but, you know.
Okay. So when she responded to him by email, her cell phone was in the signature line. He got that, and that's how he then was able to stalk her via texting as well.
Correct.
At what point did you and Saba, William, contact police about this? And let's talk a little bit about what that has been like for you.
So let me think about that. So I'll tell you when we had a couple. We probably had three tires slashed in the back alley of Saba's. They were employees, and I think it was October 8th. He slashed a tire in the back of Aventura. We caught him on camera. He came through the alley, slashed the tire, three very aggressive, violent stabs in the tire, broke into the restaurant through the back door. There were a couple of employees there, and they basically chased him out through the front door. He kept his hand in his pocket, never took his hand off the knife. And even when he went through the whole place, he tried to get into the wine cellar. And he, you know, if he got to the front door, even then with the employee just behind him, he went to open the door with his hand that stayed on the knife. And the employee chased him out. He's like, what do you want? He said, I have a message for somebody. And he's like, well, who's the message for? I'll give it to him. He's like, no, don't worry about it. And he kept going. So we catch him on camera doing this. I get a phone call. This is a Saturday morning. Saba went in early to cater some events. And she calls me and she says, hey, my car and this other employee, both of us got slashed tires. So that's three. He basically walked up from Aventura to Saba's. So at this point, we're like, okay, this wasn't random, the first three incidents in the back alley or right around there. We're like, this is pretty targeted. So that day, you know, we call the police, they come out there, you know, it's like, call them, what's your emergency? Got a guy walk, you know, we've got the video, we got all these things, and it's just, okay, we'll give you a police report, see what happens. So then, you know, as we start looking at this video, you know, I call again later on Saturday, and I said, hey, this is pretty serious. You got that broke into a restaurant. He's clearly targeting us. He's carrying a knife. He's walking around town. Front desk says, we'll call you back to take a police report. I say, okay. So I don't hear back from the police station Saturday night. Sunday morning comes around. Saba's back downtown. And, you know, I actually went downtown that morning looking for him just to see if we could spot him. He was always wearing this distinctive, you know, outfit. And she was at yoga that morning. And she's like, you know, there are five police officers surrounding Anthony this morning. Anthony's the gentleman that lives on the street that we know, we've known for the last 10, 15 years in front of Starbucks. You know, it'd be good if they could call us back. So she told me that all I did was upset me, to be honest. So then I start looking around town for a police car. And there's a police car parked right in front of Bivouac. And I just wait. I sat there and I just waited. So a police officer walks up to me again, arresting Anthony. And I said, excuse me, officer, you know, we were the victims of some slashing tires last night, breaking and entering a building. I just need to put a police report in or speak to somebody about this, because this is really quite a problem. And that was how the conversation began. So that officer called me back that day and we put in our first police report.
Why do you think it took so long? And you know, why they didn't have you do this report right away?
That's honestly a great question. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say we have a slashed tire, but when we catch him on video breaking into the restaurant and doing these things, I think that should be of the utmost priority. So I honestly can't tell you.
Well, talking with William Farah, he is the wife of Sava Farah, who was savagely attacked by this same individual that leading up to it had worked hardly one shift at the restaurant and now has kept coming after her with texting and all these other kinds of threats and the tire slashing. And now it led up to this. He finally has been arraigned. His name is Javon Williams, and he had a probation violation a year ago. What does this say about our system and how someone is able to keep doing these kinds of things, given kind of the tenor of the nation right now, and these prosecutors across the nation, including our own here in Washtenaw County, who are so lenient on criminals?
You know, I don't know what that says about these prosecutors, Lucianne. I don't know why they are not. I don't know if they don't like the work, if they're scared, if they think that if they're overly aggressive, then they start looking like they're potentially discriminating. I honestly have no idea why they are not moving on these things. I understand there are some mental health issues, and I think police officers are under a microscope in some ways about in all of their actions. But I think in some ways it can't color everything that they do. You know, I mean, I know in this experience with these people, the one thing I heard over and over for the first five or six times I was speaking to the police is, this could be an emotionally disturbed person. It could be an emotionally disturbed person. I said, well, with all due respect, my wife is now emotionally disturbed, and my two kids who are 3 and 6 years old are probably emotionally disturbed because of what's going on. So are you trying to protect us, or are you trying to protect this individual that is out there? And, you know, as the more I've learned about this, has been doing a lot of stuff around town for well over 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, mm-hmm. You know, dating back to 2016, you know, Pat Lesko wrote a great article, which had, you know, my leaked emails to city council, but I didn't realize the criminal history that this guy had. You know, and brandishing a firearm is one of the things in 2016. So, I mean, frankly, we're lucky he was like walking around town with a gun.
You know, in Lesko's article in A2 Independent, she writes that William Farah responded to Savitt, that's our local prosecutor, and claimed Ann Arbor Police Department officers are frustrated by the prosecutor's office and its refusal to use their power to get criminals off the street. Did you get a response from Eli Savitt on that?
I did. You know, to sum it up, it was, we prosecute the cases we have, that, and you know, we're doing our best. I mean, what can he say to that? But all I know is, you know, the common response that I've had, I mean, you know, on this day, Tuesday morning, an officer that was at the scene, he said, hey, he pulled me aside. He said, you're a business owner in this town. Please write city council. Please help us. I mean, I was frankly quite shocked about it. You know, I mean, I think, you know, it was quite surprising.
So you did have one council member after this respond to you, and that was in Ward 2, Kathy Griswold. Unfortunately, she mm-hmm. is not going to be on council anymore, but she was the only member of council who replied to your emails, and she said that she takes this seriously, and she was requesting that the mayor, the acting police chief, city administrator, county prosecutor meet. Has that meeting happened?
Not that I'm aware of.
Wow.
And there were a few other city council members that did reach out after I sent a few more emails, just saying how disturbed I was that nobody had even bothered to respond. That, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, Lucien, this was this that day. I think the way this went down, it's probably less than 1% chance that it happened the way it happened for Saba. Honestly, like that was a 65. I've told a lot of people this was about 65 degrees, 70 degrees, pretty warm that morning. My wife loves to have her windows down. She was sitting there in the alley sending an email for work, and it had her window been down, that's gone.
Yeah.
And we do have armed security guards, and that were former police officers in this city. And had he not been late, he said to me, I've lived in wherever he lives. I'm not gonna say that, but he got stuck behind a train, and he wasn't late. He was just not as early as he normally is.
Right.
And he said, I would have shot this individual.
Wow.
You know, and so then what does that look like for downtown? You know, it's, and again, this is a problem when these, you know, and somebody, I've seen more incidents of this guy. He's this one case, he's up for sentencing. You know, he beat somebody up pretty bad, pulled them out of their car, apparently, or got into their car. This was over a year ago.
You know, I understand mental health issues, and I know this is a problem that is quite pervasive, and we're trying to do things about it, but it still boils down to the safety of everyone in our community here, regardless of the motive or what is causing these issues. And this has to be handled on a broader level. As business owners, you and Sava have multiple properties throughout Washtenaw County. You just have been incredible people when it comes to you know, this landscape of businesses in our community, and we appreciate it very much. When you look at the downtown area, what kinds of things would you like to see happen to make it safer for businesses and for the patrons?
You know, I definitely think there needs to be a better police presence. You know, if they're walking around, circling downtown, I think that's one thing you don't see and you don't feel. I was speaking to a business owner last night who has businesses on South U. He said to me, look, we don't have this problem on South U. He said, I see a police officer drive by every 3 minutes. You know, because it's the University of Michigan police. So I think, yeah, far different situation. So, you know, what we, and I think there is this hesitancy to kind of take action when there is somebody sleeping in a business, or, you know, maybe not bothering anybody, which, you know, but there, it's still, you know, if you speak to some of these people that work at these locations, and I'm not going to name them because we've done this, and they're like, yeah, we don't feel safe in here when we have, you know, an individual who looks like they could be unhoused or whatever the term is, just sleeping here. And we don't want to ask them to leave. We don't want to cause a problem. We don't want to have somebody attack us. And that's kind of the general consensus. You know, I mean, I've heard so many stories throughout these last 3 to 4 weeks where, you know, we try and address things, or business owners are trying to address things, and then they get assaulted. And then the police don't do anything about it. You know, something as simple as talking to another business owner, an individual walked by, threw his beer bottle in the alley right next to their front door. He said, hey, can you clean that up? He assaulted him. You know, and it's, so I think there just needs to be a little bit more, you know, so I understand this delicate balance, right? But I think that if, like, this guy, Javon, if he knew that we were on to him, if the police knew that we had him on video, we had these things before, instead of building this bulletproof case that they were looking for, why not let him know that they're on to him? They believe this is him, because, you know, when I sent the picture of him in to the officer, I said, hey, I think I know who this is. And the response was, you should contact the detective. I can't confirm or deny that. You should contact the detective immediately. So that was, and that, this was because we had an ID. You know, he posted his Twitter picture is his Michigan ID, this guy, Javon. So we showed it to the employee who chased him out. He said, that's 100% that's him.
Wow. You did the police work, and you still had a hard time getting this guy apprehended. It took this horrible situation that your wife had to go through, with a man coming after her with a knife, for people to sit up and pay attention. And we live in a town and a community that has so many resources. Something has to be done about these issues. This can't go on. William, great talking with you. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Please give my best to Sava and tell her thank you for her wonderful restaurants. And I appreciate you two speaking out on this because it is a hard issue in so many ways, but it's going to help. It really is. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, and our thanks to William Farah, husband of Sava Farah, who was viciously attacked in downtown Ann Arbor. And now we'll see what local authorities are going to do about it. This is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.